Really happy now to be back with basketball insider Mike Grenier. I'm Rick Moore, MSO News Sports. And Mike, how are you today?
Well, we're doing fine. We're doing fine, right? The Celtics are off to a great start, and we have no idea what the in-season tournament is all about. Even the players don't.
Okay, that was my last question.
How are we supposed to? All I know is that my wife told me that when the courts are colored very differently, that's an in-season tournament game.
Okay.
And, like, I see some of these courts, it's just ghastly how the colors clash, and you can hardly tell where the ball is, you know?
Well, okay, that was going to be my last question, but let's start there. What the hell is it? It's like you play a certain game, and that counts toward both the in-tournament,
yes,
the in-season standing, and the regular season.
Right, and they're groups of five or six. It sounds like Olympic games when you're in a group, and then you advance, and then you play another group, and then there's the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and then the eventual winner. But I've actually seen some quotes from regular NBA players who say, I have no idea what's going on. So if the players don't know what's going on, maybe it's just the commissioner, Adam Silver, is the only one that might know how this is going to work out. I guess it's to draw more interest early in the season and all that stuff, and I guess the winner of that tournament can say, well, they won the in-season tournament, even if they don't make the playoffs in April. I don't know. But it seems like a crazy notion, because if something isn't broken, why try to fix it, the old saying? Because there's nothing wrong with the NBA. It's an extremely popular enterprise, as we know, worldwide. And let the schedule play out, 82 games, and then you start the playoffs. So I don't understand the reason for the in-season tournament.
I saw one player, quote, who said money. The players get more money, so.
Well, yeah, I don't know how that works out, Rick.
I don't either.
I know that the end of the tournament is in Las Vegas, and it makes me wonder whether this tournament was created because of all the betting that goes on these places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As we see in every sport, even college sports and all that stuff. And so you wonder if they're going to wind up in Las Vegas with, you know, the semifinals and finals, and people flock there because they can go to all the casinos and go see, some entertainment along the way, but they're there to do some serious betting.
I think you nailed it, yep.
It makes me wonder if that's the underlying reason, because other than that, I don't see why there's a need for an in-season tournament.
I think you nailed it. I've never been a gambler. I never, you know, these the pools you have with the 25 squares and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't even get into them, and I've hated gambling and betting in sports all my life. I like to play nickel dime with my family, you know, poker. But no, I can't. And now it's everywhere. So I think you nailed it. I think it has to do with betting.
No, there's no question, because even on when you see legitimate media on TV, like a Charles Barkley, for example, on TNT, and, you know, Kenny Smith and Shaq, and they'll interrupt their broadcast. A graphic will show up and say, you know, Bucks by 3.5 points or whatever, and they'll comment on that, and they'll say, I'll take that bet. You know, they're kind of semi-joking, but they're really serious, because people who watch TNT and the NBA, they'll say, ooh, Barkley thinks the Mavericks will win tonight. I better bet the Mavericks.
Yep.
It's out of control, in my opinion.
I agree. You know, I've seen stuff on the over-under on who's going to call the first time out, which baseball player spits first. You know, it's stupid. It takes care of that. All right, now, I want to ask you, I've got a lot of questions to ask you, Mike. I want to start at the top, and I want to start with Jason Tatum. And then we'll get to the rest of the team and the fantastic start that they've had. But tell me, if you think that this is the year that Jason Tatum has matured, because of the way the team is constructed now, I haven't heard any me stuff. And the other thing is, he's only 25 years old.
Right, right. And I agree. I think you used a great word there, maturity. He is maturing. And his numbers right now are off the charts great, in a sense that you expect him to average 30 points a game, because we take it for granted now that he's such a great scorer. But he's averaging actually 30.2 on a team where all five starters are effective scorers. I mean, Tatum is averaging 30.2. Jaylen Brown is averaging 22.5. Kristaps Porzingis, who has been as good as advertised, is averaging 19.5. Derek White, who I think looks like the most improved player, if not on the team, in the entire Eastern Conference, let's say, averaging 16 points a game, and he's shooting like it won't continue. He's shooting like 62% from the floor and like 55% on threes. I mean, and he's playing above average defense. So Derek White is averaging 16 points a game, and Drew Holiday, who has been a tremendous two-way player, is averaging 14 points a game and shooting it very well. So, yes, when you have that kind of balance, and Tatum's still averaging, Tatum's probably not getting as many shots as he did a year ago, yet he's still averaging 30.2 points per game, and he's shooting it at a 50% clip, and he's shooting 45% on three. Mm-hmm. So the improvement has been there. He hasn't had to sacrifice his numbers while taking fewer shots. And I think when you point out maturity, I think, Rick, we probably both think, and many fans think, he looks immature when he's complaining to the officials all the time when he feels he gets fouled and they don't call it. Well, I haven't seen that nearly as much.
Good point.
So far,
yep,
the first five or six games this,
yep,
season.
Well, the other thing I've watched is that the ball is being distributed, and you have to draw that conclusion with all the numbers you just gave with all the other guys, and nobody's complaining about it. But also, if you look at Tatum's other stats, first of all, the big one, you know, 10,000 points at age 25.
Right.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, he's playing a complete game, which we saw last year for most of the season. He plays defense. He dishes the ball off, and certainly the looks the Celtics are getting this year are off the charts.
Right. And you know what, Rick? I think, too, a stat I'd like to point out, and it's a basic, it's not one of those analytics, he's averaging nearly 10 rebounds per game.
Yes, yes.
0.6. And that's really outstanding because you figure he's working very hard on offense. If he's going to relax even a little bit, it'd be on defense and on the glass. And Porzingis can rebound, but Tatum is attacking the glass because, you know, Robert Williams is no longer around to eat up the glass. So, therefore, Tatum is making, I think, extra effort to get those extra one or two rebounds per game that can make a difference in a close game. So he's consistently rebound. He's consistently shooting at a high clip. He's consistently playing defense. So that all plays into that maturity that you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation. I love the way he's been playing, and he's playing within that context of what the other four guys are doing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Drew Holiday has been, I think, as much as we love Marcus Smart and all the things he did, Drew Holiday grew up as a point guard, and he's been doing it longer than Marcus Smart. And he's averaging 14 points a game, and he's playing great defense, and he's distributing the ball and letting guys like Jalen Brunson, sure, he's been playing well.
We'll get to him.
Jason Tatum, and he's allowing guys like Brown and Tatum and Horford to get good shots because he's such a great playmaker, and he's a threat to score himself. So the addition of Drew Holiday, I think, has been just excellent, along with, of course, Porzingis. He gives the Celtics a different look. It's Rick, I know that our friend, Tim Kearns, always, you know, is always looking for Porzingis to post up, and he would get upset when Porzingis was taking three-pointers. But in the last two or three games, I've seen a primary shift in Porzingis' game to a post-up game.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Where the Celtics will fast break, and particularly on a fast break, he'll beat everybody down the floor, and he'll put himself in the paint against a much smaller man, and Drew Holiday or Derek White will see him, and they'll shovel the ball to him even from a long distance because he could just take that little turnaround jumper, and if he doesn't make it, he's more than likely going to get fouled by a smaller man. So it's a really smart move by the Celtics because it's a much higher percentage shot. And that's not to knock Porzingis' three-point ability. He's a very good three-point shooter.
Well, that, you know, that brings the other guy out so he can go in. And the other thing I've noticed, and I'm not an astute basketball observer, but I see a lot of pick and rolls where he's had some easy layups off the glass.
Oh, yeah, he has. And he's everything they wanted him to be, and I think, like I said, it's not the same look offensively and defensively with the addition of Holiday and Porzingis. It's not that it's a different look than a year ago, but I think so far it's a better look, and in the long run, it could serve them really well as they progress through the playoffs. Because we know we think, anyway, the Bucks are going to be there. We know they have a great all-around team. We think the Miami Heat are going to be there. They're off to a 2-4 start, which is surprising. But it's early in the season, and we know Spoelstra, what a good coach he is. And Tyler Hero, who didn't play in the playoffs last year because of a broken hand, is off to an incredible start, averaging nearly 28.5 points a game. He's shooting it at a high level. He's defending. You know he's going to be there next April and May to give every team problems. And, then, of course, Jimmy Butler's a terrific all-around, all-star player, and Adebayo is an above-average center. So I expect Miami to be chasing the Celtics, or right there with the Celtics at the end of the season. Of course, and the Bucks, we feel, are going to be good. And the Knicks are going to be trouble for somebody. And, of course, Rick, you know, you're familiar with the Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're off to a 4-1 start.
Yep.
I think they're better off without James Harden.
No question. Of course they are. They're a better team.
Yeah, and Rick, you know, it's funny you mentioned Tatum's unselfishness so far and not complaining to the officials. And how about James Harden showing up at his new team, the Clippers, and announcing he was asked if he was part of a system in Philadelphia. I am the system.
I saw that.
Oh, my goodness. That's one of the most selfish quotes I've seen, at least in recent years.
In sport, yep.
I am the system. I'd say good luck to the Clippers with him.
Oh, man. You know? So much, Mike. I got to keep going. Now, one of the things that I've been impressed with winning teams, the Patriots had it for 20-plus years. The occasional Red Sox teams have had it. The Bruins, it's part of their culture. And the Celtics, it's part of their culture when they win. It's the character of the team, the cohesiveness. And, you know, when we in quotes, but when the Celtics traded Marcus Smart, I worried about that because I know that Tatum sometimes has been, I guess immature is the right word, or you know, a little bit selfish. Jaylen Brown, we don't know about him. He's a very bright guy, which everybody's beginning to learn about. Brilliant man. But he's so intense, and so on and so on. So when we lost Marcus Smart, I'm thinking, okay, how is that going to affect, basically, you know, the locker room? And then Robert Williams, III, you know, tremendous guy and teammate.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. So then you bring in KP, and then you bring in Drew Holiday, and it seems to me that there's even more cohesiveness, there's even more in that locker room now by witnessing how it's affected Jason Tatum, how it's affected Jaylen Brown, and how that team, God, they played so well the last five games.
Right, and I agree. And I think they're going to go through rough periods. So sometimes you have to judge a team's character and attitude when they're going through a rough patch.
Good
right?
point, yep.
That's the best way to judge a team's character. Guys, you know, if they stay calm and they stay together and they play as a team. And I think there's a great chance that this team will stick together when they lose three or four in a row. Because I think Porzingis, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, is extremely excited to be on a contending team. Okay, and I think Drew Holiday, he tasted a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks 3 years ago. And he's getting towards the latter part of his career. He's been around 14 years, but he keeps himself in sensational shape. And he feels he can win a title with the Celtics. He has said that point blank. So he'll be like sort of a steadying influence throughout the season, even on a guy like Tatum, even though Tatum's been with the Celtics now for seven years or whatever it is. I think Drew Holiday will be a calming influence because he's had the experience of being in the league 14 years, and he's been with bad teams, and he's been with good teams. And I think he'll try to steady the ship anytime the ship goes astray. Porzingis has been a great pickup in that respect, I believe, in terms of team character and attitude, and I think Drew Holiday has been a phenomenal pickup in that area.
I agree.
So, I can vouch for Drew Holiday over the fact that I've talked to him in the locker rooms in the past, and my good buddy there, Pat Connaughton, who plays for the Bucks, absolutely loved Drew Holiday when he was in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So Connaughton used to tell me about what a great influence he was on younger players. He brought professionalism every day. He brought a mature attitude. He brought his, you know, if he wasn't feeling well physically, he played through it. He loved all the professionalism about Drew Holiday, Pat Connaughton did. So that was good enough for me, I'll tell you, because Holiday has shown it here so far.
Well, it seems as though he is, he's got a similar demeanor to Al Horford's, and he's sort of like the, you know, the senior spokesman, even though he's a brand-new Celtic. Let me ask you about the other guys. I mean, you mentioned Derek White. I want to go back to Derek White, and we'll spread it around among the other three or four guys. Derek White is so exciting to watch.
You know, it seems, Rick, he's gotten better every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came from San Antonio with a player, as a pretty good player, And I thought that he showed flashes. He wasn't as consistent last year as he's been, let's say, the playoffs last year. He was terrific, and has carried over even more to the regular season this year. To me, he's been a premier player from the standpoint of it's like having another Drew Holiday out there when Drew Holiday's on the bench, because Derek White can drive the ball. He can be a facilitator. He shot the ball at a much better clip than he ever has in his career. Like you said, that won't last over 82 games, but he makes that little floater that we used to see Brogdon make with the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
and he also can drive it. He's hitting his three-pointers, and he's a brilliant defender. I think he and Drew Holiday, I think somebody, might have been Scalabrino, who of course is very pro-Celtic, but they might have the best defensive twosome in the backcourt. The Celtics might have with Drew Holiday and Derek White. They both defend one-on-one extremely well, and we've seen we've seen Derek White come back on fast breaks by opposing teams to block a shot from behind.
Yes.
That's sheer hustle, right? That is sheer hustle.
That's his trademark.
Yeah, and he has great timing, and I just love the way he's playing defense. You know, not to diminish what he's done on offense, but I think they're probably, his offensive contributions sometimes are a bonus because he plays such great defense.
You know, it's funny. I'm digressing here a bit. I've got a Celtics website up on my computer, and I'm just reading about Jason Tatum's visit to a school in Boston this week.
Right.
How cool is that? But all right, back to Derek White. I love watching him. I think he's got a trademark on that block from behind. But you know, you talk about defense, and I deliberately had my what do they call that? The when you have the camera on one player. What is it? No, you know, isolation. I deliberately put my isolation camera with my eyes for quite a time in the Brooklyn game Drew Holiday, you know, whether he had the ball or not. Oh, my God, does he stick with his man.
He does. He, and you know what I also like about him, Rick? I don't know if people noticed it. I don't think Marcus Smart was nearly as good as this. We're not trying to, again, diminish what Marcus Smart did.
Oh,
but
no.
When Drew Holiday has the ball in traffic,
mm-hmm.
In the paint, and it looks like he's swallowed up by the defense, all of a sudden he finds an open man cutting to the basket. He's really got a knack for that. And I say to my wife, how does he do that? It's because he's got such enormous experience in doing it. He used to do it in Milwaukee. And he's just such in control. I think he sees the court. He's got a great basketball IQ. That's the best way to put it, Rick. He has a tremendous basketball IQ. Despite the fact that he handles the ball so much, he has a low turnover ratio, and I think, you know, as he gets even more familiar for the next 77 games, regular season games, with his teammates, he's going to get even better at that, distributing the ball. But right now, he's totally comfortable in Joe Mazzulla's system, and I love what he's seeing. And, of course, Rick, you want to talk about the other guys. I think what Joe Mazzulla has done the past two or three games has been excellent, and I've been the first one to criticize Mazzulla. But the first game of the year, I think he didn't use his second unit until late in the game, and they were discombobulated. They weren't together. And I said, and the Celtics had a big lead, and I said, why is he bringing him in now in the fourth quarter when they had a 25-30-point lead in the third quarter? Well, he's changed his philosophy even the last few games where he's integrating their sixth man, whether it be Hauser or Horford, or Peyton Pritchard. He's bringing him into the game much earlier than he did a couple of weeks ago. And we saw it in that Brooklyn game that you watched, where Pritchard comes in the first quarter, Hauser comes in the first quarter. That he gives Jason Tatum a break or Jaylen Brown a break. And he's utilizing those guys much better, I think, in the last two or three games. And I think it's improved Hauser's game because he's out there with the starters and not just the reserves. Hauser was shooting it very poorly the first two or three games of the season. But then about two games ago, I saw he was 5-for-6 on threes, and he looked completely comfortable playing with his four teammates. And I think in the Brooklyn game it was the same way. He brought into the game earlier. Same with Peyton Pritchard. And, of course, Horford has been swinging from a starter to a sixth man because Derek White was away for the Brooklyn game. I just saw a picture of him with his new baby.
Ah, right? Cool.
Gave birth. I think it's child number two. Mm-hmm. And he is an Iron Man. Matter of fact, my wife commented, the only time he misses a game is when he has a baby. And he's had two. So he doesn't miss many games. And he's an Iron Man. He's a real team guy. And it's great to have that luxury, if Derek White can't start a game, to have Al Horford mm-hmm. be able to start that game.
Well, we have...
Obviously, they're better off when Derek White is in there, and you bring in a Horford, a sixth man. That's pretty darn good.
All right, we got a couple of more players to talk about, but I do want to say I think your point is well taken about Mazzulla's coaching, because I know that the Boston radio stations were complaining, you know, about... Celtics don't have a bench. You see it in the Boston Globe. They don't have a bench, blah, blah, blah. But at that time, the first two games, they were substituting five guys at once to play against right. the other guy's starters. Well, hell, you know, nobody's got a second five as good as the first five.
Right, exactly. And you know what? A guy who surprised, Rick, and you saw the game Saturday night, a guy who surprised us a little bit was Luke Kornet.
Yes, yes.
Because he was playing well from the get-go. Mazzulla let him have some extra minutes, and he finished with like 11 points and 6 rebounds. And to me, that's a huge contribution because it takes the load off Porzingis.
Yeah.
It allows him to sit on the bench for a while. Because he's a big guy. Kornet's around 6'11", 7 feet, and he's not extremely athletic, but he can get into a groove where he'll hit 3 or 4 baskets and defend pretty well and get a couple of rebounds. But 11 points and 6 rebounds for a guy like him is a really major contribution.
Absolutely.
So you hope that if he starts off playing well off the bench, that Mazzulla will give him those minutes. And I think he stuck with him the other night, and it worked out extremely well.
All right, as we wind down, the two remaining guys I want to talk about, I'm going to start with Jason Tatum, because in these eyes, and again, you know, I know nothing about basketball compared to you guys.
Yes,
but
you do.
No, but
you're being self-effacing there.
No, well, yeah, because it's I'm a fan, you know. I gotta the fans' eyes. The one I don't want to call it a weakness, but one thing I wish that Tatum would do better. Not Tatum, excuse me, Jaylen Brown. You talked about Drew Holiday in traffic. Jaylen Brown still goes into the middle, 2 or 3 guys on him, and loses the ball.
Right, right. And, Rick, you know, the other thing is, it concerns me, doesn't concern me yet because it's so early in the season, but going into that Brooklyn game, he was shooting 58% from the foul line.
Ooh.
Now, a guy with his talent,
mm-hmm.
who can make three-pointers, who can make off-balance shots,
oh, yeah.
why can't he make a simple free throw on a more consistent basis? Now, I think in the Brooklyn game, he actually missed 2 in a row early in the game, but one of them didn't count because there was a lane violation, and he got a second free throw over again, and he made it. And I think he finally finished 8-for-10 or something like that, so he improved as a percentage, but... Overall, he's shooting 72% from the foul line, and that is just, to me, not good enough because he's got better skills than that. He's not a chronically bad shooter who's going to have trouble at the foul line. So I don't know if it's a lack of concentration or it's a mind thing with him, whether it's in his head that he can't make free throws on a consistent basis, but he's got to improve that because – last year, one of the main reasons the Milwaukee Bucks lost to the Miami Heat in the playoffs and couldn't repeat as champions was Giannis Antetokounmpo shot like 50% from the free throw line. There were a lot of close games in that series, and it really did cost the Milwaukee Bucks. It seems like a small thing, but when Giannis goes to the line 15 or 16 times per game, if he's hitting 8-for-16, that's 8 points that you're giving up, and you might lose by 6. So I watched the Bucks the other night. Giannis was 7-for-13 from the foul line. So I guess all I'm saying is that free throws are extremely important.
Well, I predict Jaylen Brown, where he is such a consummate professional, I predict that will improve. And I also predict that his losing the ball in traffic will improve because he's so dedicated. I mean, he wants to win too, and he's got the talent.
Oh, he has the talent. And he doesn't have to worry a bit about being the man, right? Because... certain nights, Tatum can be the. We know Tatum can score anywhere from 30 to 50. We know that Drew Holiday can give you 25 on a given night, and Porzingis the same way, and Derek White. So he shouldn't feel the pressure of having to score 26, 27. he can get 25 just by going through his normal mm-hmm. routine on the court.
Okay.
And by hitting his free throws. So, yeah, it's a point well taken. I think Brown potentially can have a great year because there's a lot of talent around him, and he shouldn't feel the pressure. But his free throw shooting does have to improve. Hey, Rick, there's one guy I want, a non-Celtic, that I'd like to mention, because if people haven't seen him play yet, they should check him out. I saw him a couple times over the weekend, and that is the 19-year-old phenom
yep.
of San Antonio, Victor Wembanyama, who grew up outside of Paris, speaks very well in English, has played basically in those inferior European leagues, but he's a freak of nature. He's 7'4", 19 years old. Ricky has an 8-foot wingspan, okay? And I saw him play against a good team, the Phoenix Suns, a few nights ago. He took a 19-year-old rookie, took over the fourth quarter, and he finished with 38 points.
Wow.
Okay? And Kevin Durant had his shot blocked two or three times by Wembanyama.
Whoa.
He's a joy to watch. You could tell he's got the enthusiasm of a teenager
cool.
because he's still a teenager. He doesn't turn 20 until January, and if you look at him, you say, well, was he as good as, for example, our guy LeBron came into the league at age 18, but of course he was a physical specimen.
Mm-hmm.
He had played basketball in America his whole life. Well, Wembanyama played in inferior leagues in Europe, and this is his first taste of tough American NBA basketball, and he's handling it extremely well. He looks so coachable. I swear to God, Popovich will transform him into really a great power basketball player, because this kid has a lot of talent.
You know, that's exciting, because I think of Ohtani in baseball. You know, Ohtani.
Ohtani, yeah.
Yeah, because when he came in, it's a player that you want to hate because he's so good, but you want to watch him. And
yeah.
I think that's exciting.
Well, of course, San Antonio's had rough times since, since Tim Duncan retired and Manu Ginobili, and they had those five championships. All those players are now missing. So they needed a boost, and this kid is not just a boost to San Antonio, but he's a boost to the entire
Excellent.
NBA.
Yeah.
And he's fun to watch, and I think you'll see San Antonio improve because of him. But I just point him out because if the Celtics aren't on TV and the San Antonio Spurs happen to be on TNT or on ESPN, this kid is worth watching.
I will take that advice. Thank you. Okay, final thought, Mike.
Yes.
We've been doing this for a long time now, and I love it absolutely so much. One of the things, the last couple of years, when we talked about these, the Celtics, is that they historically, really, and almost traditionally, had a hard time closing out games.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look that way right now.
No, it doesn't look that way at all, and I think that's because of some of the people we pointed out. Drew Holiday is a good finisher. Obviously, Tatum has enough experience now to be a great finisher. Porzingis doesn't shy away from the big moments. Derek White certainly won't shy away from the big moments. Al Horford has tons of experience. So, sure, they're going to have trouble in some games. Now, they're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's Monday right now. And I think playing on the road against Minnesota, which is a decent team, will be rough. And then they got Philadelphia away in a couple of days. So, you can feel that first loss coming because no team's ever gone 82-0. But I think the Celtics are on a great path. I think they have the players that can sustain a long, extended run of winning. And, just that whole thing about avoiding injuries is going to be a critical factor for the Celtics.
Boy, that's the truth, and it's been fun. It's going to continue to be fun. We don't have North Shore Sports Night this week, so this is my time with our basketball insider. I learned so much, and it's been fun. Mike, any other thoughts?
No, I'm just glad that Jason Tatum's the guy that didn't say, I am the system.
Well, I gotta point out that this article on the Celtics website shows a different side of Jason Tatum that I didn't know. Actually, I thought I did know that the night he was drafted, because he talked about his mother so much that night, and she's a young woman and a single mom, and he talked about helping her. This is called On Basketball by Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, and you got to read it. Jason Tatum, 7 years and 10,000 points later, has made his mark. We still haven't seen him at his best. But he talks about some really good stuff in there, and he does it in a really exciting way and very mature, and talking about loving the city of Boston. And he also said, I didn't like going to the Celtics because originally when I was drafted because I didn't think I was going to get to play, that I wasn't good enough.
So, but yeah, and of course, he comes from St. Louis, and yep. I think Bradley Beal was an early idol for him. And, mm-hmm. of course, I think when Bradley Beal became a free agent, Tatum thought maybe he could get him to come over to the Celtics, but Bradley Beal did not do that.
Right.
But I think that was 3 or 4 years ago when Tatum wasn't nearly as mature, and I think now he's really comfortable with his surrounding. And, of course, just like Jaylen Brown, he will land a huge contract here in the next year or so, and he'll get an opportunity to sign a max contract. A super max contract that will keep him here for a long time.
Well, for an old timer like me, it's exciting to see, I got to tell you.
We got to hope, Rick, that they pull out the championship in the next year or two here, because their window of opportunity is a very clean window right now.
Yeah.
And they have the personnel to do it, and they have the. Let's hope that the Mazzulla continues to mature as a coach and can guide them through the rough times.
Well, I'm going to watch it game by game and enjoy it as it happens and pick your brain every week.
Sounds good to me, Rick. I always enjoy it.
All right. That's Mike Grenier, our basketball insider with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.